Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs podcast. It is the 4th of February 2014. I'm Steve, I'm Leon C, and we've got Colin, he's in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Colin?
Yeah, doing well, mate, doing well.
Great, right, well, we're a football podcast. We're going to get straight into the football, and we're going to talk about Man City last week. How do you think we got on, Colin?
Nightmare, absolute nightmare. I don't even know where to start with it. Obviously, I think we'd said in our last show that we weren't expecting an awful lot from it. And I think one of our other saving graces maybe on the night was that Mr. Aguero went off injured because he was absolutely ripping us to pieces.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I wanted to discuss first with you was the lineup, Steve. You know, we had said, you know, this was maybe a game too far, you know, for the likes of Bentaleb.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of felt, I think it was proved right on the night. And it's something I think, you know, I think we seriously need to look at, you know, is this young fella right to be in there, you know, for the rest, you know, for a lot of these games. But, you know, I think Chelsea last night proved, you know, possibly, you know, what way is it to play against, you know, these top teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just left so short. You know, Dembele obviously got injured, but I sort of felt Dembele sort of didn't want to know either. It was sort of nearly like the Kyle Walker from Crystal Palace situation, but it was disastrous, Steve. You know, I'm not going to beat about the bush. And, you know, sure, we don't want to bring up tonight as well. I think the guy's possibly out of his depth on these games, and it's worrying. It really, really is. You know, you don't see any other top teams. I know Arsenal now got beat by them at the Etihad as well, but it was disastrous, Steve. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, we can't keep bleating on about injuries. I mean, that's been made clear from, yeah, you know, various people and what have you. You know, it is a factor. And, you know, you start these games against, you know, these top teams missing, again, six or seven players. You know, we're in the pub, we're talking about who's back. You know, we thought, you know, four or five were back. But they weren't, you know. And you're looking, you're not even on the subs bench. So that's your first, yeah, that's your first thing. And then you're like, okay, you know, yes, Bentaleb, he's played all right, he's done pretty well. You know, for a young kid, you know, reminds me of Livermore when he first came on the scene. You know, started off really, really well, looks a talent, looks a proper footballer, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But, you know, slowly but surely gets found out in a couple of areas. And, you know, a decent player may come good in a few years, but these sorts of games, you know, you can't experiment. It's time for the grown-ups to come and play. So, you know, a full international like Capu, you know, I don't understand this whole relationship thing that these managers have. I mean, I have a class of 30 kids. If I don't get on with half a dozen of them, I can't say to the head teacher, sorry, I'm not teaching these six. You know, sorry, they're in your class, they're in your team, you get on with them, and you need them. You know, certain players you don't, you can say, you know, they're not good enough anyway, you know, and I've got a dispute with them. But these players that you need, I mean, you've got to make up with them, and you've got to find a way to get them in your side, because Capu is our backup to Sandro. Sandro's injured, Capu comes in. You know, it's that simple. Bentaleb isn't that sort of player. Bentaleb is a more, to me, and a more attacking midfielder, of which we've got, you know, quite a few. And, you know, Dembele is definitely an attacking midfielder, and he's playing too deep. So, you know, you've got that. There's loads of different factions to what went wrong in that game, and that's why we lost 5-1.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the lineup was a worry, but, you know, the biggest thing, you know, to start off in the game, you know, we just weren't at the races. You could just see, like, Man City literally just picked us apart. And we were very, very fortunate not to be maybe three or four down. You know, Lloris made an absolutely world-class save, which was brilliant in that first half. But, you know, we just lacked. I don't know whether you watched. I ended up watching Match of the Day later on that night as well. Just to always like to see what they say at the end of the games. And Alan Hansen, you know, he circled Dembele and Bentaleb, you know, where they were on the pitch. And, you know, every time Man City attacked, they were actually 5-6 yards outside our box and on the edge of the 18 whenever City were scoring or having an attempt at goal, you know, so there was nothing in there. And it really was worrying, you know. And then obviously the start of the second half, you know, Danny Rose, you know, we've all seen 100 replays. I thought when I seen the replay, you know, it was a great tackle, but it is one of those ones. I know Andrew Rockall commented to me, you know, like, it's still a foul in his eyes. Now, it's been rescinded just by the way he had to win, but it was the only way that he possibly could tackle the guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did get the ball, but he did take the player as well. So, look, it was one of those ones, sometimes goes for you and sometimes goes against. But once he went off, it was then, you know, damage limitation. But, you know, we sort of hoped that it just wouldn't go on. But I think we were very fortunate that Man City took the foot off the gas and played it like a training game. I think they could have possibly went on and beat us 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It was worrying. And I think one of the biggest things I'm really worried about Tim Sherwood. I was worried at the Crystal Palace game, Steve. I sat there on the ground and I watched his body language, watched him on the line. And I know we're all trying to give the guy a go, but I just sort of feel, you know, I don't want to beat about the bush with it tonight, that he is out of his depth. That's the way I sort of feel. You know, we need a big manager to come in here. And unfortunately, you know, the other thing I sort of looked at was the team. And yes, I know we've lost all these star players, but, you know, if we look back to the Redknapp days, you know, it was so exciting to watch. You always felt you were in with a chance. And there was just nothing there, absolutely nothing there.
Yeah. So, you know, we know that, well, we both say, you know, we had criticisms of ABB, but, you know, we had to stick with it. You know, at the start of the season, we buy all these players, we say, look, it's going to take a good 6 months before they start bedding in. And lo and behold, it's taken a good 6 months for them to bed in. That's taken away the fact that they've all been blimmin' well injured at some point in the season. So it's going to take a little bit longer. And, you know, we just don't know what would have happened if we would have stuck with ABB, which me and you, you know, we said we had criticisms of him, but we would have stuck with, and then see what happens as we go on. Look, we've got Tim Sherwood. You know, me and you are both supportive of him because we want him to do well. And it does surprise me that, you know, you've got genuine Spurs fans who I'm sure absolutely love Spurs, saying things like, well, at the end of the season when Tim Sherwood's gone, you know, and we get someone good in like Louis van Gaal, then it'll all, you know, be fine and all this. It's like, wait a minute, do you actually want Tim Sherwood to... Where do you want Tottenham to finish at the end of the season? You know, what have you got actually against Tim Sherwood? Because it can't just be the fact that he hasn't got these coaching badges and the fact that he was once an Arsenal fan. And by the way, the fact that we lost 5-1 to Man City, I think, puts to bed the whole, you know, doing it for Arsenal, you know, because I think he would have tried a little bit harder, you know, to get a result against Man City. You know, what exactly do you want with all these sort of smarmy comments about, you know, see you later, Sherwood, you know, he's going in the summer? Well, that would presume that you want Spurs to finish 7th or 8th in the league. Why don't we actually get behind him, be a bit supportive of him, and hope, for goodness sake, that we do finish 4th in the league and, you know, kick on from there, rather than all this sort of, oh, you know, he's a failure, he's a dead man walking, and can't wait to see the back of him. I mean, did they, like, get dumped by him in a previous life or something? I don't get it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and, you know, I'm trying not to be too harsh on the guy. I know I'm saying, you know, that I feel that he's out of his depth. I think what it comes down to with a lot of Spurs fans at the minute, that we're all worried. You know, it's been one of the most unenjoyable seasons that I can remember. You know, the football's been hard to watch. You know, we've had it good for quite a few years. And I think the problem lies where we all sort of felt, you know, look, we were going somewhere.
Yeah.
We really were, and we've been through that 4 or 5 years where we're getting stronger and stronger. We're building this amazing squad. And I had a big Twitter debate with, I know he's on Twitter with yourself, with Terry. I think it's Terry Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, about us selling players and things. And, you know, and I understand that we've only got a small stadium. We've got, you know, Daniel Levy in the background. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, and we still are a selling club. You know, if you look at Liverpool as an example, there was no way they were letting Suarez go.
They will, though, Cole. They can't keep him for another season. He will definitely go in the summer if they don't finish top four.
Well, the way they're going, I think they will finish top four. And one of the reasons they will finish top four is because they kept their best player. We haven't done that.
Yeah, but we tried to last year. In fact, the last 2 years, we tried, sorry to interrupt, but we tried the last 2 years, first with Modric, and then I guarantee Bale said, can I go, in the 2 summers ago. And he said, no, Modric's going, because we've had to keep him for another year. Or, we kept him for another year. And we can't sell you yet, but you can go next year, you know, for a world record or whatever it is. And Suarez, they're not going to come out and say, well, we sign a new contract, but we have said that if we don't get top four, he can go. Of course, they're not going to say that.
Yeah.
But what's Suarez going to do if they finish fifth? And you're saying, yeah, if they finish fourth, he'll stay. Yeah, I agree with that. And you think he will. And, odds on that he will. But if they don't, I'm telling you now, Suarez will be desperate to leave. Especially when he plays brilliant in the World Cup. Imagine all the teams that will be after him.
Yeah, you're right as well. But, what I'm saying is, and I think where I'm starting to get annoyed about it, is, we're still a selling club. We're wanting to move forward. We're wanting to get into the top four. We're wanting to possibly in the next few years be a team that could challenge. And the really annoying thing about it is we actually could be there at the minute if we had kept these players. But look, I understand that Real Madrid's come in and the big money's there. We can't pay the big wages. We're swapping and changing our managers. The thing is, 2-3 years ago we were literally there. And the money wasn't spent. What would have happened to Modric and Bale and Van der Vaart, I think, was a different thing. I think he had to maybe leave for personal reasons. But what would have happened if Daniel Levy then had us turned around 2 or 3 seasons ago and said, I'm going to spend this £100 million now and I'm going to go and buy Suarez, or I'm going to go and buy Yaya Touré. I'm going to go and do it and we're going to push on. We're sitting in the top four now. We're going to go for it. Possibly would Bale have stayed, would Modric have maybe stayed. These are the things where I'm looking at it now, and I just look at this team that we have at the minute, Steve, and it is so, so poor. It really is. And we'll go on to the Hull game. We can't even go away and beat Hull City.
Do you know
what,
though, Carl?
Three times this year and struggled.
Do you know what, though, Carl? You're talking about a time 2 or 3 years ago, Harry Redknapp was the manager, right? And me and you, when we first started doing this podcast, that's what we were talking about. Harry's the man, he's in charge, good football bloke, love to meet in the pub, have a few beers with. I know, a good majority probably of Spurs fans couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand the way he conducted himself, couldn't stand the fact that he had West Ham connections, and he never said we and us and I, and, it was all about just Tottenham distancing himself and saying you never had it so good, and things like that. So Levy is like saying, right, well, what do I do? Do I give this guy 100 million, who the fans don't really like, or do I not? See what I mean? There's so many intricacies with regards to Tottenham, because any issue that you bring up, and there's lots of issues that we don't talk about here because we just let other people talk about it, like the Y word and the StubHub and, the stadium situation and all those sorts of things. That we could get into, and we do talk about Cole, of course, and we talk about, but we don't do it on this podcast because we just want to focus on the football matches. But there are two sides to every story, aren't there? And like what we do is we try and look at the other side. This whole Enoch thing at the moment, Enoch out. Well, okay, that's one side, and you'll hear everybody on Twitter going Enoch out, Enoch out, Enoch out. And then one bright spark puts in, and well, what about Enoch? What about this? And you're like, well, yeah, that's a really good point as well. So, every side has got two stories. And like I say to you, the last 2 seasons we've had players that wanted to leave and we've kept them. We couldn't have kept Modric for another season. He said he wanted to go, we kept him for a season. Bale, he wanted to go, we kept him for another season. And, Suarez at Liverpool, they're going to sell him. They're going to have to, unless something happens. I know, we're jumping around different points here, but in terms of like a selling club, everybody's a selling club. That's the trouble, If we went to Stoke and said, right, we want your best player, they're going to say, no, you're not having him. What's their best player going to say? Well, wait there. Do I really want to stay at Stoke, mid-table, or do I want to go and play for Tottenham next season, challenging for the top four? What's that player going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, and everybody is. Every player's got a price. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about the Premier League at the minute is Man City have so much money, Chelsea have so much money, United are going to splice the cash here, Arsenal have spent it, obviously, and Ozil didn't spend anything there in the transfer window. But, you know, the thing is, where I've been frustrated lately is I just keep going to myself, are we actually going to do it? And like, for this season, to be honest with you, I seen Jason McGovern put a great post on that on Facebook that we need to win 10 of our last 14 games.
We need to do what Arsenal did.
Yeah, we do. And my reply was, no chance.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll be lucky to win half of them, Steve, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what we need to do, and I've actually got the mindset, and some people might have a go at me thinking it's defeatist or whatever, but personally, I just think top four is out of the question this year. We just have to motor through the season, get to the end of the season, see if Sherwood's still going to be there, who we're going to get rid of, what new players, and let's go again. But it just feels so annoying because we were there, we were there, and we didn't go for it. And many years have we cried out for a striker. You know, two years we've been crying out for a goal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the league table. We're sitting fifth at the minute, or sixth. We're sitting with minus one goal difference.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. Man United are having a nightmare season. They're on plus 12 or plus 13. You know, we're on minus one. You know, the problem's still there. And if we had a Suarez in our team, if we had had a Suarez over the last 2 years, we'd have been fighting for top of the league, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I just don't see where it's going to change. And the other thing is, are we better finishing? You know, do we want Europa League next year again? This is the other thing.
I definitely don't, and that's, you know, that's a bone in contention as well. Yeah. So
I know we usually talk about the game, but I think it just comes down, and we'll talk about Hull as well. You know, I think we need to be out there and say these things as well, because a lot of people are feeling the same way and thinking the same way, and it just all boils down to going, you know, we all put our heart and souls into this club, we absolutely love it, and I think the biggest plus point we have at the minute, everybody else around us is actually failing as well, and I can't believe we're still sitting 3 points off Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, it is crazy, but then again, it's so frustrating, as Chris Knight likes me always to say on the show.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating there. We went away to Hull, and we just couldn't get that win. You know, and we'd have been sitting up there lovely looking into this Everton game.
Yeah. I mean, that whole game, I mean, we actually haven't started well in any of our games, have we? We've started really poorly, really slow, you know, as if players aren't up for it. And then it sort of, they score and it triggers us into action, more or less. You know, you have to go through these players sometimes, and you have to say, like, you know, Lloris is out of form at the moment. He keeps punching it. You know, he's saying, you know, if we don't finish top four, I'll have to consider things. Well, listen, mate, you're part of why we're, you know, maybe not doing so well, because you know you don't look as good as you were last year. You know, and you kicked the ball, you know, when we were away at Man City, kicked the ball twice to their players. So yeah, I'm sure you can go and play for a Champions League side if they put a bid in for you. But yeah, you'll be part of the reason why we don't qualify for top four, quite frankly, as good a goalkeeper as you are. Then you've got, you know, Dawson, you know, playing the worst I've ever seen him. Although he's all right at Hull. Again, you've got all, you know, six or seven players injured. When are they back? I just don't know. And then you've got Walker, the most divisive player, you know, in our squad this year. You know, some people love him, some people can't stand him. Danny Rose, everyone said, you know, he's the answer. Is he? You know, and we didn't buy a backup. You know, that's really where you have to question Levy and Sherwood and say, how can you not look at the left-back position and think, you know, we needed left-back? And they still don't blimmin' well buy one. We know that Vertonghen doesn't like playing there, so he's not cover. And if we keep playing him there, he will be off in the summer, without a shadow of a doubt. You've got guys in midfield who are so talented, like Eriksen and Dembele. Well, Eriksen I'll give a break to because he's getting used to it. Dembele should know that you have to work blimmin' hard in this league. And we know what talent he's got. So massive, massive, you know, pressure on him. But also, he can do it because we can see him doing it. There needs to be a change in midfield. You need to get a defensive midfielder in there, so that's not happening as well. Then you've got Lennon, who's 2 stone overweight. You know, he's got moobs. He looks ridiculous. And then you've got the up front situation with Soldado, who comes back against Hull. Nothing's changed. Still strolling around. Still can't kick the ball like he rocketed it in all those clips for Valencia. He had a chance, didn't he, against Hull in the second half. Side foots it. I mean, where's this smash that we saw you do for Valencia? And the only guy, and I'm going to really, really pound on this, the only guy that is still running around and putting a shift in is Adebayor. And don't mix it here. 3 or 4 months ago, everyone was saying, Adebayor, what a joke. What are you talking about, getting him back in the team? And I was saying, he honestly, on his day, he actually is brilliant. And all this stuff about him being lazy is a myth, because the amount of work he does up front and the amount of work he did last year creating room for Bale to run into was immense. And people laughed at me and said, what a load of rubbish. Now he's in everybody's first 11, and you can all apologise to me whenever you feel like it.
No, look, you're right. And you know, the thing about the whole game, and Polino obviously came back in into the team, and I think had a good game, scored a fantastic goal for us. But you know, one of the things about the Hull game, when I seen the lineup, where did Kerikes or Turiches or whatever I call him, where did he go?
Yeah, I know.
You know. So how come all of a sudden, you know, Michael Dawson, who to me had an absolute nightmare against Man City, was torn apart.
Yeah.
Was showing up whenever he's up against these fast, nippy players, which the likes of a Shane Long is. Bielovic always has a good game against us. You know, to me, you know, Tarixis has been one of our strongest players in the last, and all of a sudden, he wasn't even there. And I just went, you know, what is this about? And, I don't know. I just couldn't put my finger on it. But, like, I obviously only seen the highlights and match of the day from it, but you know, a lot of people were going that he didn't make any changes. I think he only brought on one sub. And, you know, as you say about Soldado, it just didn't look... I seen him against Palace that day, and he was terrible. And I sort of thought, oh, great, against Hull, maybe that's him back into the team here. You know, maybe he'll do something else. But as you said, Steve, no changes. And really, in the end of the day, I know Hull are fighting for their lives, and they're hard to beat at home. They beat Liverpool at home. You know, but we need to be going away and beating these teams. And at that point on Saturday, United were losing again, and Everton were actually losing at that point, and everything was sitting nice for us, and we just couldn't go and get the business done. You know, we give Huddlestone so much room. He was pinging balls about, you know, as if he was an absolute superstar, and we just never looked like getting the result. And that is probably why I've come on tonight so negative. The whole result annoyed me more than the Man City result. It was just the performance, you know, to go away. And to be honest with you as well, Tim Sherwood's press conferences, you know, his interviews after, like the Man City interview, I thought was an absolute joke. He didn't say anything. He didn't, you know, all he could talk about was how good, you know, Man City are the best team in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, things like this, you know, there was nothing about us. And the same after Hull. It was nearly as if he had a smirk on his face, you know, about it. But
what could I do? I couldn't do anything, sort of thing.
Yeah, I just don't know. I can't put my finger on it, Steve. And like Everton coming this Sunday, like this is one tough game. Like they get hammered by Liverpool, but went out and showed a bit of fight against Aston Villa when they were a goal down. And one thing is, they've always come to White Hart Lane and give us a tough game. And it's hard to know what's going to happen. Hard, it really is.
Yeah. I mean, some people listen to Tim Sherwood press conferences and they think, you know, what is he talking about? He sounds thick. He sounds as if he's out of his depth. He sounds, and then other people listen to it and go, well, no, he's just being honest. He's saying how he feels, and you know, he sounds like a football man. So again, it's a totally divisive thing that you know, people don't get. You know, again, I just harp back to the stuff that I don't understand, the personal stuff. You know, that gets me, people saying that you know, he's a loathsome human being. I don't understand that at all.
Anybody that's gone on with that at all, rubbish. You
yeah,
know,
it's like
the Arsenal thing, it's rubbish, absolute rubbish.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. So, look, I mean, we, you know, the whole game, we drew it Before that, it was our record, wasn't it, away wins. So, including away at Man United, who obviously are rubbish, and it was a bit lucky we got that result. But look, we move on. We've got an Everton game coming up here that you know could define, if you like, the end of our season. Let me just go back to last season here. When did we play Arsenal and we beat them? The game that no one remembers.
I think it was the beginning of March.
Yeah, so it was it was the beginning of March, right? And we beat Arsenal and we went 7 points clear of them. And the very next podcast, the Arsenal podcast, they said, Alan Davis said, right, the season starts now. We've got 10 games left. Let's, you know, Spurs will slip up, da-da-da-da-da. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And they won, 9 out of 10 or something like that? So, you know, for us, this Everton game, in a way, the season starts there, okay? Like we were saying, these new players need time to bed in. We've got players coming back now. They've had plenty of time. I saw training pictures today. Townsend coming back. You know, all these players. Let's get these players back and let's start our season. We're not in a bad position. If we come back and we play a lot of these players against Everton and we get turned over, it's not the end of the world because, you know, two games later, Everton could lose them, we could win them. And we've got an interesting one with Liverpool playing Arsenal this weekend, which I'm not even going to ask you to find out what you want in that game because, you know, you don't know what to say. Always want Arsenal to lose. Always want Arsenal to lose. But, there's so many games left. Again, last year, I think it was the end of February, we played Norwich and someone tweeted about, you know, this could make or break our season. And there's another 10 games to go, 30 points to play for. There's loads of games left. There's going to be ups and downs. I'm going to be talking to you in 2 weeks' time saying it might be doom or gloom, it might be great. And then again in 2 months' time. And again, we'll still have about, you know, 8 or 9 games to go. So, look, it's a long, hard season. It's a roller coaster. And, you know, we're just over halfway through. So, you know, there's loads of games to go. There's loads to see what happens. We'll get these players back. You know, just one final thing on that Man City-Chelsea game that was on last night. Chelsea had a full-strength squad. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Everybody played. Everybody. There wasn't one player that wasn't playing. And they all played great, okay? Man City played the worst they've played all season, all right? And they had Aguero missing, Fernandinho missing, and a couple of others missing, Nasri. And they got turned over 1-0. Well, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if the next time we play one of these top sides, I think it might be Arsenal coming up, that we have everybody fit and they have 4 or 5 players that don't play. Let's see how we get on then. And then, if we do win, we'll say, oh, no, you can't talk about injuries, blah, 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 like they say to us, you know. But what I was going to say, actually, I'm going to make an announcement, I'm not going to bang on about injuries anymore, because I'm sick of it. So tonight is the last time I'm going to talk about injuries. That's why I've talked about it so much, because that is it for me. No more talking about injuries. Let's just see how we get on for the rest of the season. Yeah. Right, what do you want to do now? Fantasy football?
Yeah, do it in a wee second, but no, you're right. Obviously, we've got all these players to come back in. So, you know, fingers crossed. As you say, I'll go with it as well. We'll go from this Sunday as the start. It's the start. I'm going to try and get a wee bit more upbeat now for the rest of the week because, to be honest with you, I haven't been looking forward to any of the games. It's been really, really hard to get up for them at the minute, and I'm going to go for it. We'll go from this Sunday. I think the biggest positive, and I said it earlier, we have to take out of it, and it's hard to believe, I was chatting to a guy today, that we are still 3 points off fourth place. And it shows you, you know, the good results that we did have. Yes, we've had a couple of bad ones earlier, but, you know, a lot of teams, Liverpool slipped up away to the West Brom, United's losing a lot of games. So, look, fingers crossed, as you say, if we could just get our squad together, get these guys playing. I also tweeted out, and I know you always laugh at me, about Lamella. You know, and a few boys had a go back at me. You know, was it about price tag? And yes, sometimes it is to do with price tag. I just want to see this guy, if he comes back fit, get a wee run on the team. And what I've said, it can't be any worse, Steve. You know, look at Aaron Lennon, the way, you know, from the Crystal Palace game, I sat and watched him, his attitude. He was the same against City. He was the same against Hull. You know, he can't do any worse than this guy. And to me, for Eriksen, he's wasted if we've got to put him back out in the left. Stick him back in. Look what he done against Swansea. He was unbelievable. And, you know, with Sherwood as well there, the other surprising thing was Soldado back in. Why did we not go away to Hull and play the way we played against Swansea in that 4-5-1? You know, it worked for him, and that's where I think we should have went again. So it'd be interesting. Hopefully Pelinho, you know, is back in there. You know, Sandro, don't know where he is. You know, Kerr-Kay's back in, you know, beside Vertonghen. And, you know, Kabul's sitting there. As you say, all these guys are in their training pictures. Hopefully they'll be back in, and we can actually get them to play for the last 14 games this season.
Yeah.
And maybe with a bit of luck, we'll just sneak in there this year.
We'll find out. Right, fantasy football, how am I doing? Am I at the top 80 yet?
No. Fantasy football, okay, I'll start off with you. Steve, you are in 87th place. You're still hovering up there. And I am in 14th. I am only about 13 points off the top 10. I can't actually believe that I haven't got into it over the past 2 weeks, but I've just had a couple of unfortunate injuries and so on. See, injuries even in my fantasy football team. But at the top of the league is still Dan Jones, but Dan's being caught up by a couple of guys really, really getting close there. So there's Dan, John Perez, Patrick Morris, Chrissy Rich, Adam Barrett, Kurt Fotek, Sharny Mann, ASD, Andrew from the Football Fancast, Rich Callaghan, and Daniel Pearson. At the bottom there is Angus Doodall, Kate Coggins, Graham Lambert, Rand Shaw, and Mark Allen. And the most points this week with 81 points is a guy called Nathan Patrice. Hopefully I've pronounced that wrong, or Patrice. I'm not 100% sure, but he got 81 points this week. There was actually someone else got 81 points. It was a girl, but she had scum players. And she got deleted tonight.
Oh, no.
As I had to delete actually another three last week as well. So I might just start deleting some of the top 10 so I can squeeze up into it. So really good crack, guys, and keep it up there.
Good. Any shout-outs?
Yes, just a couple of quick ones. First one is for Kent Spurs. The guy had sent us a message on Facebook. And they are having a Legends Night with Mickey Hazard and Graham Roberts. And it's next Thursday, the 13th of February. And it's being held at Ashford United Football Club. So I take it that's obviously in the Kent area.
Yeah.
And it's £28 a ticket. And that includes food as well. So look, if you want to maybe find out the details, there's a picture of it on our Facebook page. And also if you go on to Twitter and, you know, look for at Kent Spurs, you'll find all the details there. And if you're looking tickets, get in touch with the guys, so it should be a great evening. And yeah, just also as well, I just want to give a shout out again. We've got our Northern Ireland Legend Night with, hopefully you've seen the announcement on Twitter, we've got Cliff Jones and Martin Chivers coming over to Belfast. And it's going to be a fantastic night. The Spurs Poet and the Lisburn Supporters Club are working their backsides off getting this sorted.
Yeah.
These two massive legends are coming over. Tickets are flying. I actually think there's possibly only about maybe 50 to 60 tickets left. So really, guys, you need to get in touch with Davey there on Twitter and get all his details if you're looking tickets. Or even with myself there on Twitter, and we'll get you sorted out, because it's going to be an absolutely fantastic evening, and it's definitely going to be a sellout.
Fantastic. Okay. I'll give a shout out to Claire Howard and Jamie, who are massive Spurs fans, friends of mine, who have had a baby. Another Spurs, Lola, who's entered the world. Be seeing her up the lane, I'm sure, in a few years' time.
Another Spurs fan.
I'm actually going to try and line her up with my boy. Because if she's got a voice like Claire, my friend. And the other one is, of course, I'm doing the marathon. I've already taken a few guys to the games. I'm going to have to say now, actually, that if you do want to come to a Spurs game and you want to donate to my Virgin Money Giving page, Steve Robinson or Robert the Teacher, because the tickets are, you know, running out for the end of the season, if I ask for £20 as a donation, then I'll take you to a Spurs game. And if we don't make it this season, it'll be next season. But £20, I mean, it's West Upper, 40, 50 quid ticket. So if you want to come, please donate and let me know and I'll take you to a game. Okay, mate?
Yeah, excellent. No, that's super stuff. So what's your feelings? You said it earlier and I was actually going to ask you tonight. What do you want to happen, Arsenal, Liverpool?
Well, I think it's early enough in the season to still want Arsenal to lose. You know, that's the way it is for me. I just cannot stand Arsenal winning football matches. And they are, and they're playing brilliantly, and they keep on winning. And, you know, one player gets injured, another one comes back. You know, that's the thing with them. But what I was going to say was this time last year, they were going through hell and their podcast sounded like ours. You remember they lost to Bradford, they lost to Blackburn, yeah. And they were, you know, around 7th or 8th in the league, weren't they, do you remember? And then yeah. And then, like you say, they caught up, they won a load of games. If they can do it, we can do it surely. You know, with the players that we've got coming back, you know, there's nothing really that we should fear.
Well, if
we can get these players back though and playing properly, yeah.
Do you think when these players are back, well, do you think Sherwood is going to, you know, drop Bentaleb out of the team? Do you think eventually he will, he's sort of made a statement with the young lad and he sort of nearly feels that he has to stick with the guy?
But he's also,
don't get me wrong, I think the young lad's been excellent.
He's been good, but he's also said that he wants to win football matches. I mean, why wouldn't he? You know, this conspiracy theory about, oh no, he's a gooner, he wants us to fail, surely he's rubbish. He wants to win football matches, and so he will pick players that he sees that should win football matches. So when he sees Sandro fully fit and back, he must realise, my goodness, what a player to have in front of that central defence. He must look at Dawson and go, you know, if he plays one more game where he gets outrun by the centre forward, I've got to bring Kirakesh in because he's much quicker. You know, I've got to play this player, I've got to play, you know, I can't have Lennon passing it back all the time when I've got Lamella or Townsend who's going to attack the fullback, proper winger. So, you know, he's surely going to pick the players that are going to win in football matches.
It'll be interesting and it'll be lovely to see, and that's why I was annoyed with the whole game. You know, I wanted to see for talking back in there with the likes of, you know, Churches and possibly Kabul, you know, get Townsend back into the team, you know, maybe that's what Lennon needs. You know, I can't believe Aaron Lennon. You know, Theo Walcott's injured. Mm. You have a chance of going to the World Cup, mate. You should be absolutely busting yourself to perform week in, week out. You know, there's only one man, I do support England as well. You know, the guy from Liverpool, Sterling, is absolutely flan at the minute. He reminds me of Lennon from 4 or 5 years ago. And to me, he's the only guy that should be on that plane for England at the minute, in that position. But, you know, Townsend hopefully coming in. I just can't get over Lennon. Surely, I don't know, maybe he's just too big for his boots. Surely he should be busting a gut, if not just for us at Spurs, you know, to get on that plane to Brazil. But, you know, maybe Townsend coming in. I would love to see Lamella come in, get a bit of a chance, get a run on the team, just to see what he's about. You know, maybe on the left-hand side or even in behind the striker or play him up front beside, you know, Adebayor. You know, he could be the man just to link in with him.
Yeah.
So these are all exciting things I think are ahead of us.
For you, it's Lamella. For me, it's Townsend. You know, really excited me at the start of the season. And when everybody was saying, oh, he shoots too much and moaning about him, I was sticking up for him and I'm going to stick to my guns on that. And, you know, it's just a shame he got injured because I think he would have kicked on. But, you know, I'm excited to see him coming back and I really want him to do well. And if he doesn't, hey, he's out the side and we give somebody else a go. But look, let's keep pushing on. Let's be positive. It's fine to criticise Tottenham and it's fine to criticise Tottenham fans. Please don't tell Tottenham fans what they should do and how they should behave. You know, it's entirely up to them. And if they want to sing, sing. And if they want to sit down and just bite their nails throughout the game, which is what I do. You know, that's my prerogative. I wish I didn't. I wish I was up singing, but unfortunately, I'm too much of a nervous wreck every time I go up the lane. But look, come on, you Spurs, and you know, we'll see you next week. We'll do a show on Monday after the Everton game in preparation for the Newcastle game, and hopefully, we'll be happy. I'm predicting a draw.
Well, I was going to predict a defeat, actually. So I was. I've never done that.
Nice update into the show.
But you boosted me tonight by saying it's the start of the season again. So I'm going to go that we're going to sneak it 2-1. And Lamella, if he's fit off the bench, scores the winner. What about that?
Well, more chance of no. Lord Lucan riding down riding on Shergar. All right, mate.
Okay, mate, come on, you Spurs.
The future's bright, the future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on.